Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. This is now the 19th in a series of teachings called Come, Let Us Reason Together. This is just the basics of the Bible, the elementary teachings, or the elementary image. Logos is image of Christ. And we went halfway through repentance on the last teaching, and we went through before. We started on show number 13 on God being the Alpha and the Omega, and the three things that Jesus did when he died on the cross. God began our salvation by giving us the Lamb to die for our sins, to shed his blood, and on the third day to rise again. And then there's something we do as a result of that, and it's called repent. Meta, change, metamorphosis, like a rock changes when it goes through heat and so on. There's a metamorphic change, or a caterpillar changes from a destructive caterpillar, and they're ugly too, into a beautiful butterfly who pollinates. When they go through that pupa stage and so on, a caterpillar, even his digestive organs, change. It is a miraculous thing that happens. Well, my friend, you go from being, I won't say you look like a caterpillar. Well, maybe you did before you're born again, and then you become born from above and you look like a butterfly. Well, that'll get some response out of that one. So anyway, please don't take that personally. Maybe our actions, we look like a caterpillar and we cause destruction. And when we become born from above, we become helpful and cause life like a butterfly. I think that's a better way to put it, don't you think? Get me out of trouble anyway here. So anyway, in Acts 20:21, we already went through Isaiah 55 and Acts 2 and Acts 3. This is now Acts 20:21, and we're going to read 17 through 38. But you know, before I get started, I want to go back to Acts 20:21. I did not bring this out before. This is kind of a fun little word here in the Greek. I also told you I was going to throw a little bit of Greek and Hebrew in from time to time in a beginning way so we can understand it. I'm going to read the main verse that we read before about repentance. Therefore, repent and return, or repent and be converted, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And of course, the times of refreshing is when the Holy Spirit fills us and we become like a well of water springing up into everlasting. The Holy Spirit becomes in us like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. But that repent and be converted is the Greek word epistrepho. Epi is upon, and strepho is to twist or turn about, come around, reverse, convert. Like you're going one way, turn around and go the opposite direction, or turn about. When you're going along the way called the broad way, and you hear the Lord calling to you, repent, turn about, enter the narrow gate. And because narrow is a gate, and straight is a way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. When you hear that voice, turn about and come about. And broad is the gate, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many go that direction. But narrow is the gate, straight is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. So let's go to Acts 20, and we're going to read 21, but we'll read the context 17 through 38. You know, I'm a bad host. I didn't ask if anybody got their coffee. I hope you have your Bible and your coffee ready, and let's go again. Here we go. The next scripture is we're going to start in Acts 20, verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and had called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound in the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I did not consider my life of any account or as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Grace is unmerited favor. "And now behold, I know that all of you whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face." See, Paul preached the kingdom of God too. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the image of his grace, which is able to build up and to give the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And then he went on and said, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to men who were with me. In everything I showed you, by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You see, ministers should minister through their example. "When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them, and they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, and they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship." The main scripture here is how I did not shrink back. I'm going to read 20 and 21. "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." You know what? God's people should make, ministers should make house calls. Isn't that interesting? Like doctors, there are very few doctors anymore also that make house calls. "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." The Greek says something just slightly different here. I'm just going to read a couple of little words in the Greek. We won't get too fancy here. "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance," not toward, the Greek word is eis, "repentance into God and faith into eis, our Lord Jesus Christ." In is the Greek word ein, en. Toward is pros, P-R-O-S. It does not say either of those. It is repentance into God and faith into our Lord. Look at that word, Lord. He becomes the master. You get in the plane. He's the pilot. He's up front. He's got the controls. Get in the back. Now, you know what? This is a first-class flight, though. Enjoy yourself. Jesus is the pilot. He's going to fly it. You get into him. Into faith into our Lord Jesus Christ and repentance into God. Okay, we have two more scriptures to go into in repentance, and that'll be seven. And all the words of God are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. So we're looking at seven scriptures, you see. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 10. And the main verse is verse 2, but we'll read the whole context again. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished but not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Jesus says, at the acceptable time, I listen to you. Listen to this, my friend. This is Jesus talking to you. At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What is the first thing you need to do? Repent. That's what Jesus said. That's what his cousin John the Baptist said, who was a few months older than he was. He prepared the way for Jesus. Repent, because God's kingdom, his righteousness, peace, and joy is at hand. One more scripture, Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to read the whole context. That's 5:11 through 6:8. So we're in Hebrews 6. The main verses is verse 1, but we're going to read 5:11 to 6:8. Concerning him, we have much to say. Now, him in this case would be Melchizedek, because in the context before, it was talking about the order of priesthood called Melchizedek. Now, I could tell you a lot about him right now. It's a very interesting subject. Melchizedek, I'll give you a challenge. I can tell you he's not a man, because it actually talks about him in the Bible. He's greater than a man, because Jesus is after the order in priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek. I'll do a whole teaching on it on one of these, but it'll be towards the end, because concerning him, we have much to say. It is hard to explain right now, since you have dull of hearing, and though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. We need to start at elementary school, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and make sure those are down, so we can go on to, which is basically the image of Jesus. We need to understand, fully understand Jesus, and then we can go on and understand Melchizedek. For everyone who partakes only in milk is not accustomed to the word logos, to the image of righteousness, because he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now this is interesting. An older person in his knowledge in the Lord can discern good and evil. Those are interesting words in the Greek. Good, kalou, evil, kaku. One little letter difference between the two, between good and evil. Now, there's another word for good called agathos, but this is good and evil doctrine. And we're not even to adjust a letter in the original Greek or the Hebrew. We let it speak for itself. So solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern between kalou and kaku, good and evil doctrine. Therefore, leaving the elementary image about the Christ that is not teaching. Therefore, leaving the elementary logo or image about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance or metanoos, changing our mind from dead works and of faith toward God, of the instructions about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation useful, for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. So the first principle, the first elementary image about Christ, number one, it actually says it right here, of faith, repentance from dead works. Oh, here's another one. Repentance is always found before faith. Number one is repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, let's go back to the Greek on these. Repentance, away from, apo. With, in other words, and it is away from, like today I'm this far away from it. Let's say I'm a mile away from dead works today. Well, tomorrow I'm expected to be 2 miles away, and the next day 3 miles, and the next day 4 miles, and so on. Well, let's say a foot. Well, how about an inch? One day we're 1 inch, next day we're 2 inches, and so on. A mile is maybe a little unrealistic, but I just said it for effect. In other words, it is away from, with an ever-increasing distance between you and that object. That's what the Greek is really saying. And it's repentance from what's called dead works. Well, I'm going to make that really simple. Our own works. Some people, we have to just stay clean, keep a clean house and pay our bills to be godly or whatever. Well, those are works. And those, my friend, don't save us. The death of Jesus saves us, his blood saves us, and his resurrection save us. Works are our own way of trying to please God. It doesn't mean that we don't work the work of Christ. And that word, there's nothing wrong with work. Work is the Greek word erg, and it's an energy unit, and it takes one erg to move one dyne one centimeter. Now, that's some kind of scientific stuff to most of us. In other words, it takes X amount of energy, a certain amount of energy to move this block of, or this stone to this place over here. And it's just energy. It's an energy unit. Matter of fact, the word energy comes from the word erg. But what it is dead energy. It is our own energy doing things our own way, because God says, remember, let's go back to the first scripture. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says God. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. So this is where God's in the is the pilot, and we're back in first class, which is very good. God is, he is taking us, and we are going with him and doing his will. I'd rather actually say his will. And so it's repentance from trying to please God our own way with our own works. It's repentance away from works that lead to death. Now, the next time we get together, and if we have a minute, we can start with faith is going to be the next subject we're going to get into. And right here is the next one, and it's faith toward God. Now, here again, I don't know why the translators chose that word. That word toward is actually the Greek word epi. Epidermis is upon, like epi, the skin upon your body. Epi, how do you like that? It's not like toward God is like you're always trying to get to God. But actually what this is saying is faith on God. Now, you're standing on God. He's the rock. He's our foundation. And it's faith, it's repentance away from dead works or works that lead to death, and faith on God. I like what the Greek actually says better. That is what came hot off of God's lips. So it is faith on the rock, faith on God. Next time we get together, we'll go into faith, and we'll do seven scriptures on that. But right now, I'd like to talk on something about Ivan Panins. I think this would be a good time to introduce you to him. And I just want to start off by saying the two major languages of the Bible, the Hebrew in the Old and the Greek in the New, are the only two languages in the world where the letters are the numbers. In our language, our numbers are the Arabic system. We have our English letters, and then we have Arabic numbers. In Rome, they had Roman numerals and so on. But in the Hebrew and the Greek, like Alpha is one and so on, it is the only language that is that way, or those are the only two. And I'm going to show you an example of the perfection in the Bible. Well, in the book of Genesis, in the first chapter of the first verse, in the English, there are 10 words, but in the Hebrew, there are only seven. And notice the seven again. There is one verb created, and in the Hebrew, it's that word is divisible. If you add up all the letters, it's divisible by seven. There are three nouns, God, heaven, and earth. And if you take those nouns and add up all the numbers together, they're divisible by seven. And Ivan Panin actually found 24 proofs to each word, verse, chapter in the Bible. And through this pattern, this number pattern, it'd be like a picture of this perfect pattern of numbers. The beginning, this pattern would be complete within each context. There was a certain pattern that he followed that showed where the beginning and the end of the context was. And when you go ahead and read it in the English, indeed, you can see that it's a complete thought. I'll give you, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, he actually includes the last part of 12 as part of the context of the love chapter. And he says, "And I show you still a more excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal." And so it flows better. You can just see it flows better. And the end of the gift chapter is, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts." And if you'd like a copy of that Bible, I would surely suggest every diligent Bible reader should have one of his Bibles in his library to compare it with the King James and so on. And in some places, he shows where things were added in the King James, like Jesus' bones were not broken in Panin's, where it says in the King James, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Panin's translates it, "Take, eat, this is my body for you." And it goes along with Psalms, that not a bone of Christ was broken. Anyway, I will talk to you more about Panin's and show you more of the wonderful things that he uncovered. But until then, may God lead you into all truth, and may the truth of God set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.